A few weeks ago, I was talking about my experience when I traveled to Israel, and I was very complimentary to the Jewish people and their restoration of their nation and restoring the Hebrew language and their longevity and being able to keep the Sabbath and to pass on that tradition of Sabbath keeping and of aligned to the identity of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I was complimentary to the Jews, and I had someone accuse me of Judaizing. Now, that term is not in the Bible, and it's a term that was used by the Western pagan-based church, again, to separate people from God, to separate them from any contact with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a term that's not in the Bible, but it's a term that is used often particularly by modern Protestantism, although it had its origin in other religions. But again, it's used in ignorance by people today. Now, the basis for it is something that is said by the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. And, you know, anytime we want to look at Paul's writings, we need to flip over to the last chapter of 2 Peter and see that there's a little warning that the Bible itself gives about the fact that Paul's epistles have some things that are hard to understand, and so that those that are unlearned and unstable twist to their own destructions. Let's look at the word unlearned. I don't mean they're not intelligent. I don't mean that they might not be great scholars by the way that man would measure scholarship. But as far as being unlearned in the ways of God, there's a big difference. And then people that are unstable. Unstable, you know, you don't have, if a building is unstable, it usually doesn't have a good foundation. And so it's necessary to have a good foundation in the principles of God to be able to discern the Word of God and to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to look into the book of Galatians, and I certainly don't have time today to go into the book of Galatians. There's a couple things we need to remember, that it was a Gentile congregation, and there was an element of Jews that were propagating circumcision to the Gentiles, and that was really the subject. The Jews were encouraging, actually demanding that the Gentiles become circumcised. And so the Bible does use the term of living as a Jew. And some translations like to put the term Judaizing in there, although the term Judaizing in modern Protestantism has got to mean even thinking or saying anything good about a Jew. It's become a barrier, an intentional barrier between God and His principles, including the Sabbath, the holy days, the food laws, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, all the things that are of real importance in identifying the true God. Because those things are the things that identify the true God and separate the false Jesus from the true Jesus. So Judaizing is just another one of those terms. Another one of those terms that divide the church from its Hebrew God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob roots. When someone says anti-Semitic, what do you think? What comes in most people's mind? I think in this age, in this generation, the first thing they probably think about is the Nazis and Hitler. They focus on Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and those things and say, well, it was just a little period of time and the world just lost its way and a lot of people got deceived and we don't feel that way anymore, and really people didn't feel that way that much in the past. Let's just analyze the situation a little bit and see if maybe we've missed something, because there is a root to anti-Semitism, and a reason for it. And it goes back to the time of the New Testament church. It happened as the apostasy began to take place, and a group of people actually seized power of the New Testament church, or not the actual New Testament church, but the one that the church that was visible to the world. These were the Gnostics. Paul had to deal with them. The Apostle John had to deal with them. And eventually they dominated what became Western Christianity, Western pagan-based Christianity, what it is today. Now, I want to look at some of the things that they did and look at the reasons that they did it. In Europe, prior to Hitler and the Nazis, there was a very anti-Semitic attitude. I think that attitude is still prevalent. In the United States of America, there is an anti-Semitic attitude. I remember when my kids were in school, some of the other children in school, and it was evident it came from their parents, because we kept the Sabbath and the annual holy days, they would refer to my kids as Jews, Jewish. A well-known automobile tycoon and manufacturer in the United States, very anti-Semitic, put out anti-Semitic material with his automobiles when he sold them. And everybody sort of winked at that and never realized how deep the roots really were. But the anti-Semitism goes back all the way to the fact that when the Gnostics, who were very anti-Jewish because they were competing with a Jewish-based religion. That's what the New Testament church was. It was a Jewish, Hebrew-based religion based on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so for them to succeed, they had to drive a wedge between the church and their Hebrew roots. It is exactly the same thing that Jeroboam did when Judah and Israel were divided. It is exactly the same thing. What did Jeroboam do? He changed the holy days. He told the people, it's too far for you to go down to Jerusalem. And so he set up a couple of gods in Israel. What he did was cut people off from the origin of their religion, from the Hebrew roots of the religion, and established Baal worship, Baal worship, that is prevalent today in Israel. It's still there today in Israel. We have plenty of articles on the web about that. So when the Gnostics actually were able to counterfeit New Testament religion, they had to keep people away from their Jewish root. Now let's look back and just think about some of the things that people say today and the things that people said a few centuries ago. You know, for example, the church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about the true church of God, I'm talking about the counterfeit church. You know, I've often heard people say that all these religions, all these churches can't be right. Well, that is a correct statement. They can't all be right. Somebody has to be wrong. From what Christ said, that wide and straight is the road that leads to destruction, and thereby that's where the masses go. That's where everybody go. Narrow and crooked is the road that leads to life, and few be they that find it. I just roughly quoted that, but people never stop and think about that. Now, if you want to take the words of Jesus Christ, you might just listen to what he said and then look and see where the big crowd is. And if you believe him, that's not where he's at. And so this Gnostic religion began to grow and take roots. Certain premises were established to try to separate that counterfeit religion from its roots. If you can keep people away from God, just like Jeroboam, you keep people away from the temple, from Jerusalem, from God's established altars, fire all the priests. That's what Jeroboam did. Now let's look at some things that you've heard. In fact, I had one of our customers not long ago mention this particular thing. The number one thing you would say today, if you mention the Jews to a real religious Christian, quote unquote, they'll say they were Christ killers. Had a lady not long ago that my wife and I and my daughter were getting ready to go to Israel, and I mentioned it to the lady that we were going to take a trip, and she said, I wouldn't want to go. They killed Christ. Well, is that true? Did the Jews kill Christ? I didn't argue with her, except I did comment, if you accept Christ's sacrifice for your sins, then we all killed him. But let's again take the words of Jesus Christ himself. Who killed Christ? He very plainly stated who killed him. Are we really willing to accept what Christ said about who would kill him? If we look in Matthew, the 20th chapter, what he said, verse 18. He was telling his disciples this was the year that he was killed, executed, sacrificed. Verse 18 said, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priest to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. So here Christ said that the chief priests, who by the way were Levites, not Jews, would condemn him. That was the priest's job, was to offer the sacrifices. They were doing their God-given duty, and will condemn him. In verse 19, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify, or kill, execute. And the third day he will rise again. Christ told his disciples that before it happened. It was the Romans that killed Jesus Christ, not the Jews. So that's a false statement to begin with. It is a false statement. Now, were they Jews that consented to his death? Certainly they were. Did they accept him as their king and Messiah? Most of the people would have if they had not been led astray. And we could go back and look at the multitudes that followed him and listened to him. We could also go back to that 10th day of the first month where he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem riding on a colt. People call it Palm Sunday. It really didn't happen on a Sunday. It happened on a Sabbath, and that is provable. But we'll leave that proof for a different time. He entered the city, and the people all praised him and accepted him as their king. Of course, they didn't understand that he wasn't going to assume the throne right at that moment, that there was a delay. And you'll find that on over in the 20th chapter, Matthew. So, you know, the people were willing to accept him, but it wasn't given to them at that particular point in time. Now, I want to look at another aspect of what happened with Western Christianity, Western pagan-based Christianity that was the invention and creation of the Gnostics. Actually, the author behind it was one called Satan the Devil, but the Gnostics and the Nicolaitans, who amalgamated paganism with Christianity. Do you ever ask yourself the question of why all the things that happened down through the ages, particularly things like the Inquisition and particularly the Spanish Inquisition? Do you ever consider why that this Western church would go to such extreme measure to make people in Spain, and I'm using Spain for an example, recant their religion and accept the Western religion? Did you ever stop and think, why? Well, there's a reason. There's a reason why so much of it happened in Spain. It's because in 70 AD, when Titus destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed Herod's temple, that he deposed the Jews and he scattered them. And a large number, probably the predominant number of Jews, he took to Spain. Now they were, if we wanted to be technical, they were probably, the most of them were actually one of the other tribes of Benjaminite, but they were known as Jews. And what did they take with them? They took the Hebrew religion. And so the Western Gnostic-based church had to separate people. They didn't want their people being exposed. They didn't want the people to have their neighbors that kept the Sabbath and kept the Passover and kept the annual holy days. And so they went to a lot of trouble, a tremendous amount of trouble, to purge that. And you know, so much of that went on in Europe all through the Dark Ages, that there was a natural resentment to the Jews, anti-Semitism rampant. And that's historical fact. And it's really still true today. It's true in the United States of America. People look down their nose at the Jews. And that's true even in the Church of God. That can be true. In fact, I'm going to do a sermon before long on spiritual racism, because people can actually get in the attitude of where they, because God may have blessed them and given them some truth and understanding and given them His Holy Spirit, they get in a frame of mind. Somehow that makes them superior to somebody else. You know, it's like racism based on physical races, and people look down on somebody because they speak a little different or they have a different colored skin. You know, in the United States of America, this is rampant today. People really look down their nose at people from Mexico. They really do. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, we were on our way to Florida, and we stopped in a little fast food restaurant. My wife and I went in, and there was a black man in line there, and he was a real friendly guy, and we got to talking. It was as we were waiting in line, and he was a nice person. But it wasn't long till he got to talking about the Mexicans, just like some southern redneck would have talked about him a few years ago, because people like to look down their nose at somebody they think they're superior to. That's wrong. I remember I pastored a church in Mississippi once. Now, I like the state of Mississippi, but I've never met so many racist people as I met actually in that little congregation of what was supposed to be the Church of God. They really look down their nose at black people. In fact, there's a movie out today that I'd recommend anybody go see. I think the name of it is The Help. It's about that racial situation. Now, when it comes to other races, people are just as prejudiced. And a better word than prejudiced is they think they're superior too. And what really irks people about the Jews is the fact that because the Jews have kept their identity and their ties to God, their ties to the Creator through the Sabbath covenant, and I've mentioned this in a good part of the sermons I've given recently, and I still challenge anybody that's listening online to start keeping the seventh-day Sabbath and make a covenant with the Creator God and receive the blessings that are attached to that. The Jews have successfully, well, let's just go back since 70 AD. We could go a lot farther back, but they have successfully kept and passed on to their descendants the Sabbath for 2,000 years nearly. Now, from my perspective, and do they do it perfectly? No. But from my perspective, they get a lot more respect than I do, who have only kept the Sabbath for 40 years. Because what I do with it, passing it on to my descendants, is not yet fully established. But people 2,000 years ago that were Jewish passed it down to their generations today. And that's an accomplishment that should be respected. And because they've done that, God has blessed them. Oh yeah, they've been persecuted, they've been killed. So are all the prophets. And one thing that people fail to realize, that when it comes to the end time, and this is a subject in itself, I'm not going to cover it in detail today, I just do want to mention it, that when it comes to the end time and how the actual return of Jesus Christ, where's it going to be happening? It's going to be happening in Jerusalem, in Israel, with the Jews. Now, people may not like that. And like I say, that'll be a subject for a totally separate sermon. But remember, and like I mentioned, even today we do certain little things that we never think about. They look so innocent, they're anti-Semitic. And this goes back to Europe again, and something that was done when the present calendar was established, the Gregorian calendar. The Jewish calendar, or the Hebrew calendar, the God-established calendar, the year starts in the spring. It starts as things begin to green out and everything begins to regenerate. That's when the calendar starts, the God-based calendar. That makes good sense. That makes real good sense. The Gregorian calendar and the old calendar that goes back actually to paganism, it starts in the dead of winter. It's sort of illogical. God's calendar is totally logical. And how do you suppose when to keep the not only the Jews, but anybody else that wanted to adhere to the Hebrew calendar, what do you suppose they did to try to discredit them? They did the same thing that politicians to do today and try to put a spin on it, and they call these people April Fools. That's where April Fool's Day comes from. If you don't believe me, just get the encyclopedia or dictionary out, look it up. April Fool's Day is an anti-Semitic concept that comes down to this very day. Now, I mentioned that the Jews had successfully kept the Sabbath for these centuries, and they have a covenant with God, and God has blessed them. Now, I don't have all the statistics here today, but I've certainly read them. Just go look up some of the statistics on the Jews. Most of the great intellects in modern times have been Jewish. Men like Albert Einstein, and I could just keep naming. They've had tremendous success. They're financially successful. That's one of the things that God promised in the old covenant that they still have adhered to. The little nation of Israel today, and we were fortunate enough to be there back in February of this year, and what's happened to it in a very short period of time, 60 years of existence as a nation, taken the most desolate spot on the face of the earth and made a very beautiful place out of it, and one of the top countries in the world, one of the freest countries in the world, probably one of the most tolerant countries in the world from my perspective. That comes from God. That's where God is working. I'd refer anybody to an article that we have online about the Six-Day War. It was all the miracles that have been fulfilled in our own generation. I haven't seen anything happen in northeast Arkansas and southeast Missouri that I would say was a fantastic miracle of God, something that he was doing to establish and build the kingdom of God. I don't see much happening in the United States or in the rest of the world except the preparation for people to destroy themselves, destroy their own civilization. It's what we see today. The Jewish people today are building for a future. They don't know what that future is. They haven't been taught by God yet that the Messiah that they're looking for has already been here, and that he's the one that they've kept his Sabbath all these centuries, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who the Messiah is. And we can use the word Jesus Christ, but that's not going to be his name when he returns, because that name has been drugged through the mud. He's going to have a new name. And just because we have the understanding of that, the degree that we do understand it, doesn't make us superior to somebody else. When you have knowledge, you have responsibility to use that knowledge. Knowledge doesn't give you a right to look down your nose at someone else. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.